Good morning, everyone. This is today's Dharma Espresso on Hand Untying Knots, Part 4. We're still on the topic of untying knots. Let me tell you a story of about 20 years ago. I knew a woman named Irene whose husband worked for the Lions Club, where members were generally middle-aged. He was young, very nice, and well-loved by many, including young women from the club, who often came to talk to him. This made Irene very mad and jealous. She accused him of doing this and that, but he told her, "I didn't do anything, just trying to be social." Irene was always upset, spying on him for evidence, but in vain. When she came to me for advice, I told her to use the method often taught by our patriarchs. She would sit still to meditate and breathe gently. When altered states came to her mind, she should treat them as clouds which came and went. She should not interact with them. Otherwise, she would explode with anger, go crazy, and would be stuck in the state of her being right and them being wrong. That is a very important method in Zen Buddhism. A saying goes, "When you see a Buddha, kill him. When you see a ghost, kill it." What does that mean? It means that if a ghost comes to your mind, kill it. If a Buddha comes to your mind, kill him. This does not mean actual killing. It means to let it be, let it come and go. Later, we often say that it means not to touch or interact with our altered state, not to follow it. I taught Irene the same thing. She practiced it and thought it was effective. Not too long after that, I went on a solitary retreat. I didn't get to see her when my retreat was over. A few years later, I ran into her when I was shopping for a Buddha statue. Surprised, I asked her, "How are things with you now?" After talking for a while, I found out that she was already divorced. She said, "Dear Tay, your method only worked for a few months. Then I couldn't stand it anymore. I ended up arguing with my husband constantly, which led to divorce." I was stunned because at that time, I hadn't discovered the program for transcending worldliness and engaging with the world. I only talked about how to cultivate and about practicing the so-called 5 T's or 5 traits. Anyway, fast forward a little to the time when I came up with the 6 T's, 6 traits, and began to teach the path for transcending worldliness and engaging with the world. I then used Irene's case and posed the question, how could that happen? Recently, on the occasion of the New Year, I gave a lecture on the nature of transcending worldliness and engaging with the world, on meditation practice, and how to practice engaging with the world, etc. Actually, I talked about these topics 2-3 years ago. How should we do it? When we do sitting meditation, we face our own darkness. Myself is the true mind. I am the light. I am non-dualistic. I am the boundless light. Everything comes and goes like clouds. We shouldn't move. We shouldn't follow the clouds. The clouds come and go, but we always stay in our inherent light. Let things come and go. Those were my instructions for Irene. But they were only the first part called transcending worldliness, when we stay still and become boundless light. What happens when we engage with the world then? It turns out that it is an entirely a different program. Let me show you how to complete the path of transcending worldliness and engaging with the world. You engage with the world about 5 minutes after your meditation session is over. After rubbing your hands, eyes, and relaxing your legs, you sit still again. Then you put your palms together to dedicate your merits. Remember that? In the case of Irene, I would tell her, think of a situation where your husband and a certain girl are flirting with each other. Think that you are living that moment, and you can see yourself being angry. Feel your anger and your jealousy. Do you know what happens when you feel that jealousy? You'll see your own blind spot. What is that blind spot? It turns out to be your jealous ego because you want to control. That intuition that lets you know you are that control consciousness can only happen when you truly feel the anger, jealousy, and fury. You look at them with the eyes looking out from the inside, not from the outside looking in. Then you can see your blind spot. Oh, so myself, I, my ego, Irene, I am the control. I control my husband. I control everything. I control so all things must be fine. That controlling ego gives birth to all kinds of jealousy, anger, envy, looking for my husband's faults and family members' faults too. I can't leave things alone. When you can realize that, it means you can eliminate your own blind spots. So, you see, you have to move your consciousness. You can't just watch the clouds come and go. No, you have to enter that altered state and see yourself in it, not from the outside looking in, but from the inside looking out, to feel your jealousy and to see your blind spots. Ah, it turns out that you want to control, but you're losing that control. You can only be free when you can recognize that. Now, how to not get stuck anymore? As soon as you see yourself as the ego, as the control or the jealousy, read the Sun Mani mantra.
Shufolaye om dubi chaye dubi bolawalining shopaha.
Then naturally, the terrible force of the darkness, blind spot, I am the control, I am the jealousy, I am the anger, I am the selfishness, etc., will immediately turn to light and you will see liberation right away. You'll no longer be stuck in the control, the wicked ego, jealousy, and envy that make you always spy on your husband and find ways to corner him for an answer. When you let go, liberation comes, and at that moment, you turn darkness into light, and then you are truly free. This is not theory, but the truth, because we all have blind spots and egos. If we can't solve our ego, it'll continue to create more blind spots when we engage with the world, and it'll keep pushing us to the path of jealousy on one side, hatred on the other, and control on still another side. We can never have peace, and the only way to prevent us from exploding is to put the lid on top of the garbage can. When we realize that, we're truly practicing the path of transcending worldliness and engaging with the world. While transcending worldliness, we have to feel stillness, keeping our mind like the sky, letting altered states come and go without interacting with them. Engaging with the world, we have to become the ego, see that blind spot, and liberate the blind spot right away. We've learned the mantra to untie knots, the Sun Mani hand-eye mantra. If we can also visualize the seed syllable ba at the same time, we can transform darkness into light immediately, and liberation will come instantly. Darkness follows our ego, and only when we shine the light on darkness from inside out can that ego disappear. At that moment, we're really free and liberated. We have to see two clear parts on our path for transcending worldliness and engaging with the world. One is stillness, and the other is awareness. One is boundless light without darkness. The other is eliminating blind spots. Thank you for listening. Have a day full of joy and awakening.